Hello, I'm Dick Hayden for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Sports Illustrated Kids and perhaps another source as well, and we'll be picking up the January and February 2021 issue of SI Kids. So let's begin and see what we have for you today. First of all, there's a short little item here. We've got a couple of guys playing football over in Europe, which we call, obviously, soccer here. And it's titled, You Again? It's their freeze frame. This is from December 8, 2020 in Barcelona, Spain. When Juventus met Barcelona in the Champions League, it was the first time that Cristiano Ronaldo faced off against Lionel Messi since 2018, when Ronaldo departed Real Madrid. The Juventus star got the best of his old rival, scoring twice on penalty kicks in a 3-0 win. It was the 35th time the two went head-to-head. Messi now has 16 wins, and Ronaldo has 11. And there have been 9 draws in their contests. Let's move on to take a look at some of the other folks who are playing that sport and others. Christine Sinclair, playing soccer for the Portland Thorns Football Club. We have some data on her that you may find interesting. She is a 5'9" player, born on June the 12th of 1983 in Burnaby, British Columbia. She's a forward with the Portland Thorns Football Club. Sinclair scored a league-best 6 goals as the Thorns won the NWSL Fall Series in a 7-week competition. She has led Portland to 2 NWSL titles and also won a pair of NCAA national championships at the University of Portland. Sinclair is third in the league history with 49 goals. And in a little did-you-know factor, in January of 2020, Sinclair, who was playing for Canada, became the all-time leading goal scorer in international soccer when she scored her 186th goal. Let's move over to basketball and Jared Butler. He plays for the Baylor Beats. Jared is 6'3" tall, weighs 195 pounds, born on August the 25th of the year 2000, and his hometown is Reserve, Louisiana. Following a sophomore year in which he averaged 16 goal points and 30.1 assists per game, Butler was named a third-team All-America. He led the Bears to a 26-4 record. And after withdrawing from the 2020 NBA draft, Butler was named the Big 12 Preseason Play of the Year. Not bad for that guy who plays guard. And did you know that thanks in large part to Butler's 22 points, Baylor won at Kansas last year 67-55. It was the Bears' first ever win in the Fog Allen Fieldhouse, which opened in 1966. If you happen to enjoy NASCAR racing, Chase Elliott of NASCAR, driving the number 9 car, is one of the big guys. Chase is only 5'10", and he only weighs 145. He was born on November the 28th in 1995 in Dawsonville, Georgia. And here is what we have to say about Chase. By taking the checkered flag in the season finale 500 at the Phoenix Raceway, Elliott won the NASCAR Cup Series Championship for 2020. He clinched his spot in the playoff final with a dramatic win at the Martinsville Speedway a week earlier. He finished the 2020 season with 5 wins, giving him 11 for his 5-year career. I think he's going to be around a lot longer, too. And did you happen to know that Elliott's father is Bill Elliott? He was the 1988 NASCAR championship, making them the third father-son duo to win NASCAR titles. Bill won 44 races in the course of his career. Next up, we'll look at warm-up an article in SI Kids titled Losing is More Fun. Winning is overrated. Sure, losing stinks for the players. For fans, however, being bad has its advantages. For one thing, there is only one kind of winning that truly satisfies. Winning the big one. For better or for worse, sports in North America revolve around championships. Teams that make short-sighted moves can always say that flags fly forever. No player, no matter how good, can be the GOAT, G-O-A-T, for greatest of all time, unless they've got the rings. In fact, rooting for a good team that never goes all the way can be kind of a sports purgatory. The San Jose Sharks have made the playoffs in 21 of their 28 seasons of existence, but they have never won the Stanley Cup. The closest they got was the finals in 2016-17. Would Sharks fans trade 20 good seasons for one cup? Well, some probably would. But I'm not here, says Kip Shoremore, the author of the article, that winning a championship is more fun than not winning. Everyone knows that. I'm here to argue that, in general, fans of bad teams, and I mean really bad teams, have more fun than teams that are pretty good. You don't believe me? Well, a post on a prominent Lakers blog announcing the team's 2020 NBA championship garnered 372 comments. The article about selecting Anthony Edwards, first overall on their sister Timberwolves site, gained 1,067 replies. Okay, that admittedly doesn't prove much. An angry person is more likely to leave a comment on the internet than a happy one. Boy, do I knew that. Not every Wolves fan was psyched about the Edwards pick, and they let each other know. The sheer amount of lively debate, however, does say something positive about the experience of pulling for losers. Next time it becomes possible to safely gather a championship parade, take a good look at the crowd. Notice the freshly starched jerseys and the distinct lack of sun-faded caps. Championships are for the bandwagon fans. The diehards championship is the draft. The draft is about possibility and unfalsifiable speculation. The hardcore fan loves to argue as if they're right, but hates to be proven wrong. They love to revel in the minutia. Over the course of a regular season, which teams are good, becomes apparent very quickly. Depending on the sport, it can take years to find out if a prospect will pan out or bust. That leaves plenty of time for message board arguments before anyone knows who is right. And by that point, everyone has forgotten that particular debate and moved on to discussing the next divisive player. That's the real reason it's fun to root for a terrible team. It's all hope. When a hitter reaches the majors, that first good curveball he sees can reveal all the flaws in his approach. While he's in AA, that player is a vessel for fans' dreams. One scout said he had the wrist strength of Miguel Cabrera. Another said he covers the plate better than Mike Trout. And defensively, he has more range than Kevin Kiermaier. Few fans actually ever get to see their team's minor league players in action. They only hear the hype and see the gaudy statistics that come from playing against inferior talent. That blank slight optimism applies to an entire franchise when it's truly bad. Diehards don't just root for the players, they root for the front office. When a team is pretty good, or even really good, but is stuck with several high-paid players, off-seasons and trade deadlines become boring. If those players start to underperform, rooting for that team can feel like a dead end. The fans are stuck with these underachievers until their deals run out. A rebuilding team, however, has the payroll flexibility and draft capital to do anything. A savvy general manager with an empty roster, a fat wallet, and a bevy of picks is like an NHL sharpshooter on a breakaway. He might not score, but he has the runway to attempt something truly daring and brilliant. The rebuild that does work is a truly sublime fan experience. Winning constantly dulls the senses. It creates spoiled supporters. Can you appreciate the view from a mountaintop if you were born on the summit? Does the rose of victory smell as sweet if you've never breathed New Jersey air through a paper bag of shame? Can you feel the warm sun radiating off Trevor Lawrence's golden locks if you never felt the bitter cold of Mark Sanchez running into a teammate's behind? You probably couldn't tell from these metaphors, but I'm thinking about the Jets specifically. While it makes its own virtues, losing is what makes winning fun, too. The bad seasons bond true fans, so together they can really celebrate a championship. As a Golden State Warriors diehard since 2014, I can tell you firsthand, losing to the Cavaliers in 2016 really made me appreciate the 2017 and 2018 titles even more. Granted, I'm a Lakers fan now, but I'm sure I'll enjoy the rebuild after LeBron James Jr. retires in 2044. And now, some other items from warm-up section of SI Kids. Tweet the Mets. The Mets haven't played a game under Steve Cohen, but the fans already love him. For years now, the phrase LOL Mets propagated online in response to many misfortunes of New York's less successful baseball team. They traded a top prospect for Robinson Cano, who got suspended for PED use. They included two living players in a memorial slideshow for deceased members of the 1969 World Series team. Yonis Cepedes broke his ankles after falling in a hole at his ranch. This all really happened. Now, however, the Mets have a new owner, Steve Cohen, the richest in MLB, and he's already doing his part to make sure people are laughing with the Mets, not at the Mets. Cohen has jumped on social media to interact with fans. Money can't buy you everything, but it does afford you the ability to make jokes on Twitter and not care what people think. Some of the new King of Queens' best replies have been copied above this article for your amusement. So what are they? Well, here's three of them. Question, would you rip a Picasso in half for a World Series ring? Cohen's response, can it be an inexpensive one? Next one, Steve, not sure your department, but can we get lavender air fresheners in the bathrooms at Citi Field? Steve writes back, I was afraid someone would ask me bathroom questions. And the third one, how do you like being an owner so far? And Steve says, haven't lost a game yet. There you go. Hey, you know, we just had 2 months go by, and I don't think we noted any of the birthdays that are present that you might be interested in. So let's get caught up to date with January and February birthdays. On January the 2nd, San Diego Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. turned 22. On the 12th, Alicia Gray of the Dallas Wings turned 26. On the 13th, Oilers captain Connor McDavid celebrated his 24th birthday. On the 16th, Los Angeles Angels IBDH, first base and designated hitter, Albert Pujols turned 41 years old. And on the 22nd, Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman Jason Peters turned 39. In the month of February, on the 8th, the Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones turned 32. On the 10th, outfielder Max Kepler of the Minnesota Twins turned 28. On the 14th, professional surfer Caroline Marks reached the ripe old age of 19. And on the 19th of February, Team USA softball catcher Dejan Mulepola turned 23. And finally, on the 22nd, Atlanta Hawks point guard Rajon Rondo is 35 years old, and can that guy play basketball? Love it. We have a chance in warm-up to also look at the results of some interviews by kid reporter Emma Abramson. We got three things going. The Cleveland Cavaliers center, Andre Drummond. Science guy, Bill Nye. That's kind of good. And Vanderbilt kicker, oh boy, Sarah Fuller. Sarah Fuller, the first woman to play in professional football, I mean collegiate football, as a kicker. So let's see what we have here on the grid. We're asking each of these three people, your favorite emoji. Andre Drummond says it's a butterfly. Bill Nye, the science guy, he's got a smile with a wink emoji. And Sarah Fuller, she's laughing so hard that she's got tears coming out of her eyes. Next up, what other job would you like to have most? Andre Drummond says, I say being an actor because I love to entertain people. And Bill Nye says, I would engineer antennas. And I really like Sarah Fuller because she says hospital administration. And that was my career for my whole adult life, was being a hospital administrator. So, Sarah, you rock, kiddo. I'm in your court. Favorite movie growing up for Andre Drummond, I loved all of Tyler Perry's Madea plays and movies. And Bill Nye liked King Kong versus Godzilla, but he says, I was greatly influenced by the James Bond movies. Sarah Fuller, Beauty and the Beast and A Bug's Life. Now, what are you most looking forward to in the year of 2021? Well, Andre Drummond is really looking forward to having a healthy and successful year, both on and off the court. Can't argue with that. Bill Nye, the science guy, said things going back to normal, hiring government employees who will work together and make the world better for everyone. I like that one as well. And Sarah Fuller is looking forward to a vaccine and graduating from Vanderbilt in May. Well, Sarah, as you know, by now, in early March, the vaccines are here. But you're going to have to wait a little bit, another couple of months, for that graduation. Favorite fictional character for Andre Drummond? Definitely Thor. I love lightning. And Tom Swift Jr. is the favorite fictional character for Bill Nye. And for Sarah Fuller, Katniss Everdeen. I kind of have a thought that that comes out of a movie series that I can't remember the name of. Okay. Favorite athlete growing up? Shaq. He was so versatile with his craft, says Andre Drummond. And Charlie Taylor, receiver of the Washington football team for Bill Nye, the science guy. And for Sarah Fuller, she said the entire U.S. national team, especially goalkeeper Hope Solo. And who would not like that? Okay, what is the best advice a mentor ever gave you? Well, I'm going to start at the other end of the list here with Sarah Fuller. And the advice she got was, don't be nervous when change comes your way. Adapt to it quickly and roll with the punches. And Bill Nye says, astronomer Carl Sagan told me that science resonates with kids. And Andre Drummond, the best advice a mentor gave him was never limit yourself. How about your favorite season? They all agree. For every one of them, it's summer. If you could show an alien one thing from Earth, what would that be? Well, Sarah Fuller says VR headsets. The alien would say, what, you're an alien? And I would say, no, you're the alien. And Bill Nye, the science guy, says, give that alien a pencil and a piece of paper. And finally, from Andre Drummond, he would say, I'd show them our national parks. And those are all excellent choices. There's no question about it. And I think we have one more item from warm-up here, and that would be a future star. Talking about a future star. Bryce Wetstein, birthplace Encinitas, California, January the 10th, 2004, and his sport is skateboarding. I'm sorry, when her sport is listed, it's listed as skateboarding, because I messed up the first name of Bryce, because that is for a girl. When Bryce steps onto her skateboard, she goes into discovery mode. You aren't required to fall in someone else's territory, she says. I always think it's like magic and imagination, so I say imagination. Imagination, a combination of magic and imagination. She can get lost practicing on the vert ramp or the inaugural bowl in her backyard. The latter honors the family's 22-year-old iguana, Spike. In October 2019, Bryce won the Women's Park National Championship and became the U.S. top-ranked park skater, putting her in contention to make the Olympic team. She will resume her qualifying efforts in 2021. The first year skateboarding will be in the Summer Games. Let's talk now about power couples. While others play the field, these stars found their Valentines playing on the field or the court. People who've met each other and fallen in love. Now, I know that may be something you haven't gotten to the point of falling in love yet, but, you know, kind of keep it in mind. Many married couples, around 2 in every 10 in the United States, meet at work. Beyond the obvious reasons, co-workers date, they spend a lot of time together. There's the possibility that their jobs represent a shared interest. It makes sense that professional athletes would get along. No marriage has as much star power in a single sport as the union of Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf. He, an American, is an 8-time Grand Slam winner who spent 101 weeks ranked as world number one. She, from Germany, spent 377 weeks at number one, a tennis record for both men and women, and boasts a 22 Grand Slam titles of her own. And before you ask, their son, Jaden, actually does play baseball and has committed to the University of Southern California, USC. So how about some of the other folks that fit in this category? Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird. When Sue Bird and the Seattle Storm won the 2020 WNBA championship, it continued an incredible run for the Emerald City's most famous sports couple. Rapinoe, of course, took home the Golden Boot and the Golden Ball at the 2019 World Cup. This year, they could become the first same-sex couple to compete for Team USA at the Olympics. How about Lauren and Jeru Holiday? The Holidays, Jeru and Lauren, nee Cheney, met at UCLA, where they both played for the Bruins. Individually, they've compiled awards like NBA Teammate of the Year and NWSL Most Valuable Player. Together, they've launched their Social Justice Impact Fund. They have a daughter, Jeru Tyler Holiday, and welcomed a new baby late last year. Penny Taylor and Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi is the rare professional athlete married to her coach. Penny Taylor, above left in the picture, was Taurasi's teammate for 10 seasons in Phoenix, where they won 3 championships together. Now, Taylor is an assistant coach for the Mercury, while Diana is still at point guard. Mia Hamm and Nomar Garcia-Piara. For kids who grew up in the 90s, no sports couple could be more famous. Mia Hamm, a soccer star, led the legendary 99ers and won the 1999 World Cup. Garcia-Piara, that same year, batted .357 with 104 RBIs while playing shortstop for the Boston Red Sox. Now, they are part owners of the Los Angeles Football Club. And P.K. Subban and Lindsey Vonn. If Bird and Rapinoe are the ultimate Summer Olympics couple, Subban and Vonn can be king and queen of the Winter Olympics Winter Games. Subban won a hockey gold in 2014 with Team Canada. Vonn topped the podium for America in 2010 in Vancouver when she posted a 1.44.19 time in downhill skiing. Those are very interesting couples that have gotten together. Let's take a look at a few other athletes from their bios to find out some information about them that we may not know already. It's always interesting to know who we're going to be rooting for. Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves. He's a pitcher. Max is 6 foot 4 inches tall. That's pretty tall. 190 pounds, born January the 18th of 1994, and his hometown is Santa Monica, California. For the second straight season, Max finished second in the National League in wins. He had 17 in 2019 and 7 with no losses in the abbreviated 2020 season. He led all National League pitchers in WAR 2.9 last season, and he also won a Golden Glove. He has a long way to go to become the most decorated fielding pitcher in Braves history. Greg Maddux won 18 Gold Gloves in his career, including 10 when he was with Atlanta. After being traded by the Texans before the 2020 season, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, hit the ground running with them. He had 14 catches for 151 yards in his first game. He has at least 100 catches in three of his seven seasons with Houston. And he led the NFL with 13 touchdown catches in 2017. DeAndre is 6 feet 1 inches tall, weighs 212 pounds, born June the 6th of 1992. His hometown, Central South Carolina. And did you know Antonio Brown of the Steelers and Brandon Marshall of the Bears are tied for the most 100-catch seasons with 6 apiece? And Ryan Howard, Kentucky Wildcats guard. As a sophomore, Howard was named SEC Player of the Year after averaging 23.4 points and 6.5 rebounds per game. At Bradley Central High in Cleveland, Tennessee, Howard was named Tennessee's Miss Basketball in 2018 and was also the Gatorade Player of the Year. She stands 6'2", was born April 29th, the year 2000, in Cleveland, Tennessee. And did you know the Southeastern Conference, SEC, has had a representative in 28 of the 38 women's Final Fours, 6 more than any other conference. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We certainly hope that you have enjoyed it. I'm Dick Hayden, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And be sure to listen in next time.